I was reminded, looking at the seven churches in Asia Minor that open up the Book of Revelation, and as we know so well, with each of the churches, and remember that five of them, God calls them to repent. We note that at the end of each of the message that God gives to these churches, to those who overcome, they will inherit. And it just reminded me of what we're going to talk about this evening, how that we need patience, endurance in this walk. Nothing tends to come immediately with God, very little, in fact. There are certain experiences that you can have, for example, like the baptism of the Holy Spirit, when the Spirit falls and he baptizes you, empowers you in the Spirit, you immediately open out with languages, speaking in tongues. But generally, a lot of the nature of the walk of a Christian is patience and endurance, and it's an absolute requirement. That's why it's part of the fruit of the Spirit. And we're going to call our teaching today, Patience is a Requirement to Inherit. Patience is a requirement to inherit. We have a great inheritance ahead of us. We are partaking of some of it already in this life, and there is still much more to be had. But in the light of eternity, there is an inheritance that we cannot really begin to conceive. We get, of course, glimpses of it in the Word of God and promises showing us what we are destined for. But it's an inheritance that's unimaginable. We can't really even comprehend it. We can't really put it fully into words. And it's on the basis of patience, waiting. Our turn will come. At the moment, it seems everybody else is having their go and having their say, and so on, and it's as though we are in the back of the queue. And outwardly, it looks like that, because that's the wisdom of this world. The wisdom of God is quite different. And that's why so often we appear to be back of the queue, insignificant, always at times looking a failure, and as though the enemy gets the upper hand, mocks and makes fun of us. But all of that that we go through, and we will go through it if you haven't, is telling us that there is going to be a rewards and inheritance. It's coming. Our day isn't quite ready yet, but it is going to come. And all the evil and the rebellious of this world, the haters of Christ, Almighty God, the false religions, and so it goes on, will look in absolute awe and wonder. Because one of the things that they will see is the faithfulness of Almighty God and how he is true to his word and his promises. All of this they will see, which will be part of their torment, because they never chose the right path. But we have, in Jesus' name. And that's why I want to call today, Patience is a Requirement to Inherit. Let's look at something we read quite often, but so much that is in it, in the book of James, James chapter 5 and verses 7 to 12. Verses 7 to 12, and here the Lord reveals himself like a farmer, farming, sowing, reaping, working on the land, all hours, unsociable hours, just like farmers are. Farmers in many ways have a life that is very separated. They have to be there 24/7 with all the livestock and all that is entailed. And that is why we have still in many ways a great regard and respect for farming. We saw that with all the demonstrations and outrage with regard to inheritance tax and so on. So that is an indication of how appreciated it is, because much of farming keeps us alive. It gives us food. And so it is a very, very important job, career. And not all are capable of farming. Few, in fact, are willing to consecrate their life to farming, unsociable hours, all weathers, all conditions. That's why a lot of farming is handed down from generation to generation. Very often you have to be born into it. It has to be inbred. It has to be there, you see. And with that understanding, we can now begin to read here in verse 7 onwards of James chapter 5, where it says, "Therefore, be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, waiting patiently for it until it receives the early and the latter rain." So one of the requirements of being a farmer is patience, because of course farming very often is dependent upon the elements. Sometimes farming has to battle the elements, particularly in this country, how diverse the weather is. And it goes on, "You also be patient, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand." So he speaks about being patient. He now brings it over to us, and he uses the term here, "Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand." So being patient is connected with the coming of the Lord, where he's going to bring righteousness, establish a righteous world again. He's going to govern. And he says to establish our hearts. Set your heart upon that. Settle it. Don't be up and down, impatient. You can never be impatient with God. God moves in his time and in his way, and he's going to teach us to move and walk with him. I think too many Christians battle this. They fight against God. "I'm not waiting." But we have to learn to wait. "Do not grumble against one another, brethren, lest you condemn. Behold, the judge is standing at the door." So in light of God establishing our hearts for the coming of the Lord, to be patient, don't be impatient and grumble and gripe with one another, because it hasn't happened yet, or whatever it would be. And it's very easy to do that. It's very easy to lose it sometimes with brothers and sisters, when you think, well, how long does it take them? You know, we're all in a process, we're all in a work. that God is doing with each of us. And we have to remember that we all come out of different environments and backgrounds, families, customs, and various things, you see. So it's a massive work that God's doing in working and changing us and conforming us to the will of God and to walk by faith. Do not grumble against one another, brethren. My brethren, take the prophets who spoke in the name of the Lord as an example of suffering and patience. That's why few were prophets, that is, true prophets, because a prophet is one who has to learn great patience, long-suffering, because that ministry is prophesying future things that will come. They don't come immediately. Many of the prophets of the Old Testament were prophesying things centuries in advance. They were not aware what they were saying, but look at hundreds of years later when things start to come to pass, which we're seeing now. We're seeing so much of prophecy in the Bible now coming to pass. Indeed, we count them blessed to endure, who have heard of the perseverance of Job and seen the end intended by the Lord, that the Lord is very compassionate and merciful, which he was. One gets the impression that Job's trial was quite a long trial. We don't know how many years it was, but we, as we read it, and in the light of what James is talking about here, of having patience and endurance, it probably was quite a time and looked completely negative and hopeless. Job looked a hopeless case. But you see, God was with him. And God was going to doubly bless him at the end of his trial, which he did. But above all, my brethren, do not swear either in heaven or by earth or with any other oath, but let your yes be yes and your nay, nay, lest you fall into judgment. So we see here then that we have to be patient and persevering in every situation. Anything that God does and builds, and like an assembly, a church, it takes a long time. In fact, we continue to grow all the time. I don't think a church ever comes to a place where it's fulfilled its function and purpose. It's a continual working in the body of Christ, working that true unity and oneness of fellowship, working with our faith, our endurance, our commitment, working with love, prayer, the preaching and teaching of the word. It's all an ongoing process in light of the fact that it's working this patience and this long-suffering with us. In many ways, and I've said it before, that spiritually where we are, it now seems as though we are in that last lap of the race that God has set for us, which is always the last lap, which is down to endurance, strength. And that is what sorts out the men from the boys. You'll find often when you look at a race, a long race, we see it when the Olympics come up. They all start off in the race and running round the track, but gradually as the bell goes and it's the last lap, you often find there's just one or two that are out in front of the rest that are running. And that's the nature of it. It doesn't mean to say that they're disqualified from the race. It simply means that overcomers, first fruits, are the ones who are going to make it in first and be presented before the throne of God, revealing that the harvest is coming. This is a foretaste of those who've endured, have remained patient, have not compromised in any way. They're the ones that will be presented, who will be caught up and brought before the throne of God, which is a sign of what is to be reaped, what is going to come, you see. Often in farming, they will tell you when they farm that they will always get a small crop that will mature first, that gives them a good inkling, an idea of what this crop from the field when it's harvest is going to be like, you see. And so it's going to be a good harvest, the latter rain. God is going to see a good harvest that will be reaped when the four angels go to the four corners of the earth and reap and bring in the rest of the harvest. How God is going to use the Antichrist in which to reap that harvest. See, God uses everything. It might look as though the enemy and the Antichrist has won his day, but God then will come forth with great vengeance and he will reveal his treasure that he's preserved and kept through the great tribulation. Of course, there are going to be many who will be martyred through the great tribulation, those who don't take the mark of the beast. But we have to remember that we see at least two harvests in Revelation 12, the woman that flees after giving birth to the overcomers, the sons of God, the man-child, she flees, and then from her witness, she produces more seed, more harvest, right through the great tribulation. That is why I don't believe, which some have taught, that the Holy Spirit leaves through the great tribulation. I don't see that in scripture. He's still there working, saving. We know that when the seals and the vials open, some of them in that day would just call upon the Lord and be saved. Well, that requires the Holy Spirit in which to do that. So we see there's a great harvest that's coming in, but it's not coming in all at once. It comes in stages. But we're going to see those first fruits that are going to be presented before the throne of God. And that's what we hold to in this assembly as overcomers, first fruits unto the Lord. And like the farmer who's separated, consecrated to his work, we likewise are consecrated, separated from this world unto the work and ministry that God has called each one of us. And that is to endure, to be patient, to stay with it, to not deviate, and to know that your inheritance will be there, your rewards. Praise God. And so we see when we look at this back then in verse 7. Be patient, brethren, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, waiting patiently for it until it receives the early and latter rain. And so these farmers, they don't give up on their crops. They don't give up on the harvest. They keep with it. They work with it. They keep working. And if it requires water because there's a drought, they'll do that, whatever it will be, so that it can be seen. But it takes time. It takes time to conquer. It takes time to overcome many times. It takes time in prayer and intercession. We don't always immediately see after our prayers. And that's why we confess, we believe, we stay with our confession, we thank the Lord once we've asked him that it's on the way. We press in. We don't take no for an answer. We press in to take the kingdom of God. We wait because really, to be honest with you, there's no other option, because what else can you do? So it's no good griping and moaning. That's what we're called to, is to wait, and God will be faithful. He always is. And that's the mindset of a farmer. And then it says in verse 8, and you also be patient, establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord is at hand. So our hearts can be worked on through the delays in faith. So that is another reason why we don't immediately see manifestation, or we're believing for that amount of money that we're believing for, or my healing, or the salvation of my family, or my loved ones, or whatever it is. Our hearts are worked on through those delays. That's the point, because the rewards are coming. If you are waiting and you've been waiting a long time, that is a clear sign the rewards are coming. Like Job, he didn't leave him in that state. He doubly blessed him at the end. That's why we walk by faith and not by sight. That's why you've got them all recorded in Hebrews 11. They produce something by their faith. But a lot of it took years. It wasn't done straight away. And then he says in verse 9, do not grumble against one another, brethren, lest you can be condemned and the judge standing at the door. So don't make these mistakes that Israel made in times of hardship, when they were tested in the wilderness. I know we mention that much, but that is an example to us. They did nothing but gripe and moan. They were at one another. They wanted to stone Moses and raise up another leader and so on. Absolutely rebellious. Why were they acting like this? Because 40 years waiting was producing that, which it shouldn't have done. That 40 years in the wilderness should have worked in their hearts. They should have seen that the delays were working their faith, because they didn't have faith to believe that God would bless them, that he would give them Canaan, the promised land. They couldn't wait. And of course, when the judges, when the spies came back with the report and said, the land is a good land, land of promise, but there are giants there and we look like grasshoppers. Oh, that was it. That was the last straw. After 40 years, is this what we've been waiting for? To hear something like this? See, God will judge you, God will test us right to the last second. And if faith is in your heart, it doesn't matter how big the mountain is, how loud the enemy is growling, we are well able to take the land. Why? Because it has been promised to me. and you don't give it up. And the longer you wait for it, the more precious it becomes. But Israel didn't understand that principle. You see? That's why it's such good news now under the new covenant that Jesus has overcome the world, overcome all things, so we likewise can overcome. And that's why we're called overcomers, for that very reason. What does Hebrews chapter 10 verse 36 tell us? Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 36. For you have need of endurance, so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive the promise. There you are. Because because the just live by faith. And he goes on, actually, verse 37, for yet a little while, and he who is coming will come and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith, but if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we are not of those who draw back to perdition, but of those who believe to the saving of the soul. That's why we don't go back. That's why we endure. We remain with it. We're patient because it's the saving of our soul. That's why. Something we know very well, but let's read it in context of what we're looking at here in Matthew 5. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 33-37. Let's just remind ourselves again of this. Matthew 5, 33-37. Again, you have heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not swear falsely, but shall perform your oaths to the Lord. But I say to you, do not swear at all, neither by heaven nor for it is God's throne, nor by the earth, for it is his footstool, nor by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. Nor shall you swear by your head, because you cannot make one hair white or black. But let your yes be yes, and your nay, nay, for whatever is more than these is from the evil one. So that speaks about our confession, walking with God. Yes, let our yes be yes and our no, no, with regard to our walk of faith, our confession. We don't deviate, we don't go into the grey areas or whatever it would be. We make a positive confession that those who endure to the end will be saved, as Jesus gave that principle. And that is why patience is a requirement in which to inherit. What does Colossians tell us with regard to our inheritance? The book of Colossians. Colossians, chapter 3 and verse 23-25. Colossians chapter 3:23-25. And whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. But he who does wrong will be repaid for what he has done, and there is no partiality. So one of the rewards that come with patience and endurance, it says that whatever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not to man. So it means that everything we do, Everything that God wants of us, even when we have to go that extra mile, we do everything unto the Lord. And it does take a time to get that from the head to the heart. And when you find it's finally dropping, and as it says here, and whatever you do, do it heartily to the Lord. In other words, you do it with joy, with pleasure, with the right heart and motive. And it's not a drudge, you know? And we all do it, particularly, you know, if people at times just push us to the limit and you help them out and you think, here we go again, don't they ever learn? We've all done it. We're to avoid that sort of thing because we're doing it unto the Lord and we do it in the right heart and motive because that's what he says. That's how we minister. That is how we endure and stay with it and remain faithful. I'm doing this because I do it unto the Lord. This is what pleases him. This is what he requires. I may not fully understand it. There's a lot of things I don't understand, but God's saying it here, and therefore I do it unto him. And if you can keep that focused, it's a great, great help in remaining faithful, being patient, staying with it. I've had to learn this one in ministry, going to places until the Lord says, you've done what I want you to do. But I have always kept it in heart that I do this unto him. It's a way of giving back. There's nothing we can actually give back to the Lord at all. But we can give back to him a right heart, a right motive. That's why we spent time on the Beatitudes. Because the Beatitudes is all about really having the right hearts and motive. It's our way of giving back to him. Romans 12, 1 and 2, presenting yourself upon that altar, it's giving yourself back to him. And God accepts it. He receives it. We become a living sacrifice. We offer ourselves back to him. And in many ways, we get a glimpse of that when we read this, that whatever you do, do heartily as unto the Lord, knowing that from the Lord you receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. So he says, you have an inheritance. And not only will you receive some of that inheritance in this life, which a lot of Christians don't really have much teaching or understanding of that, but throughout eternity, which we spoke of earlier in this teaching. So he says another reason why we do things heartily unto the Lord, because he wants us to know that there are rewards and you have an inheritance to those who serve the Lord Christ. So you serve him. Every day when you get up, I serve you, Lord, this day, in whatever way or form the Spirit leads and guides me. That is my walk. That is the requirement for me to serve. And when you serve the Lord, you will serve your neighbor. You will serve the saints. You will even serve your enemies. Because when you do it unto the Lord, it's so powerful that the love of God reaches out even to the unlovable. And you'll see how he does it. It's by surrendering. But he who does wrong will be repaid for what he has done, and there is no partiality. So in other words, resisting it, rejecting what is being said there. No, I'm not doing this. I want people to serve me, thank you. That will have its reward, but not a good one. So we have to watch these mindsets, this pride, you see. That is why we have to serve. We're slaves. And God says, when you understand that, then I'll raise you up. And he raises us up in the power of his nature and heart, because Christ came to serve. He emptied himself and took upon human flesh and took upon the role of a servant. And he says, doesn't he, to have that mind, that thinking toward that, you see. Why? Because patience is a requirement to inherit. God wants you and me and all that hear this to inherit. He has an inheritance. It is so great, it is so infinite, that we can't even put it into words. And he wants you to have that. That's the nature of his heart. That is a loving father, to share the inheritance with you. So that is why we have patience. And that's the requirement for inheritance. Well, there we are, brothers and sisters. I hope that's helped. And just reminds us why we run in this race like we do, and why it seems at times we go over and over and over the same thing, but all of it's building endurance, building that strength, helping us to be patient, because you have an inheritance. Praise God.